I call this meeting of the Worth Township Whitestown Reorganization Committee to order. We will start with Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Begin with roll call.
Andrew McGee.
Present.
Cheryl Hancock.
Present.
Tim Jorzak.
Present.
Paul Carpenter Wilson is here. And that leaves Michael Martin and Jeff Jacob absent for the time being.
All right, we'll see if they'll get here after a minute. Adoption of the minutes. Paul sent them out on Monday?
Monday or Tuesday.
Everybody have a chance to take a look at them? We good with them? Okay. Entertain a motion on the minutes.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of February 17th, 2011 meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, tonight is going to be the first part of our transportation meeting. A little bit of background on that. Because of the time of the year, spring break and all that, we had a lot of the people that we wanted to have come before the committee talk unable to make it this week. So we are going to schedule the second part of this meeting on the 7th of April to get information on from the people that Andrew has contacted from Central Indiana Computer Services, right?
Well, that's what I'm about, yeah.
Yeah, well, I bet you had somebody from...
Seventh, we should have Kevin Servies, because he's at a conference in Bloomington this week. And we'll have the executive director for me try to pull in my public transportation part, Boone Area Transit.
Okay, system. Boone Area Transit.
Yes, it's operated through Boone County Senior Services, but it is a service that's open to the public of all residents of Whitestown, regardless, or Boone County, regardless if you're a senior citizen or not.
And we also invited the commissioners to attend, and Jeff's here. Awesome. Thank you for coming. So, yeah, that's great. So we'll have him. We will start with Tom Coombs from the Boone County Highway Department. And Andrew, you go ahead and...
Thank you, Tom. I gave you a call and come out here to speak with us about your... from the county level, handling the roads
right.
For Whitestown and Worth Township, just to give us an overview of
right.
What you handle, maintenance, repairs, you're bringing out for bids, I think you said, for budget purposes.
Right. So. Okay. First of all, thank you for inviting me. I'm Tom Coons. I'm currently the Boone County Highway Supervisor. I'll be brief because there's other things that people need to do this evening. So, one of the things I have brought for you guys, and I've got six of them here, that way you can give everybody that's not here a copy of this. What this is 22 basic maintenance projects that we have that pop up for maintaining both hard surface roads and gravel roads. And this is based on my actual bid prices for 2010. I haven't had time to update this thing for our 2011. But what this will do will give you a general idea on how much it costs per mile to maintain roads, either chipping and sealing. This has about six or seven different hot mix overlay designs in it with our cost, cold mix overlays for maintenance on roads, and even converting gravel roads, the estimated cost to either convert them to a chip and seal or cold mix or hot mix. So I thought that might be useful for you, just give you an idea of the cost per mile that you would be looking at if you were going to maintain the roads in as this thing develops. The one thing about this is all based basically on a 20-foot wide road. And so the actual costs are going to be different depending on, there was 18-foot roads or 16-foot roads, yada, yada. But just for, I use this for budget purposes to start out with, and then I hone it down to, once I find out for sure what roads I'm going to do, I can hone the cost down depending on the length, width, and all that stuff. But this is a good thing, a basic tool that you can use. And like I said, there's 22, I believe. And on it, and the back is basically our, you know, well, it was 1 year's road plan, our road design, you know, the equipment we have, our procedures and all, everything that we do at the highway department on the county level. So, like I said, I thought maybe that might be useful information for you as far as looking at dollars and all that stuff. And to go on beyond other maintenance things that aren't covered in this, it is signs. You're responsible for all the signs on all the roads, the drainage up and down the road and across the road. In other words, culvert pipes, if there's tile ditches running under the road, everything within the right-of-way would be the responsibility of the municipal unit, whoever road it is, to maintain. Cutting brush is another one that, you know, a lot of people don't think about. And then, of course, if you want to do a major reconstruction project, and if it meets the standards, you also have applying for federal aid for a road project through NDOT. So that's just basically some of the things that I do at the county level, and cities and towns do. The one thing you would not have to worry about is big bridges. Okay, and big bridge is defined as anything with a 20-foot or greater span. By state statute, all big bridges in the county, even in cities and towns that are 20-foot or greater, and not on a state highway, are the county's responsibility. So that one will always fall on the county. So that's basically all I got.
So even that bridge in Zionsville over Eagle Creek there on, well, that's on 334.
That's currently on State Road
334. So
that's an end op as of right now, yes.
Okay.
Yes, but all the bridges in Lebanon that are not on 39 or 32 is the county's responsibility to maintain and replace as it's needed. So that basically is a thumbnail sketch on highway business. So if you have any questions.
Wow, that was summed up really quick.
Well, people's got places to go. So, any questions?
I would just ask, for the Zionsville merger that they did.
Yes.
They got into the rural district. And
yes.
Talked about the road funding out there. What sorts of cooperation is there in the planning of the road projects? Is it still conducted entirely by the county? Does the county plan what's going to happen with the roads, or do you work hand in hand with the town because it's technically a municipality, or how does that all work?
Technically in the rural area. Okay, and before I answer that question, under this state statute that you're looking at, the merger thing, all right, you do not need an interlocal agreement as far as the roads. Zionsville wanted one. You know, we obliged them. It wasn't that big a deal. And if the roads in the rural area are still under the jurisdiction of the county, it's my decision. Okay. You know, we look at traffic conditions of a road, so we will still maintain them, but we still will make the call because it's our money.
So you have an interlocal agreement with Zionsville for the portions of Eagle and Union
that are in what they call the rural area district.
Okay. Yes.
Now, as each town expands, in other words, you know, does the annexation thing and all that, then the 1 year thing will automatically kick in, and then after that year, it's all yours.
Okay. So then, what is the? Is it the? Does the town have a decision? Did Zionsville have a decision to say, as part of this consolidation, whether or not those roads are going to become their responsibility or not?
Yes, that's my understanding. In the statute, it's up to the local when they combine.
Well, the only addition to that on the statute is is if you're doing a contiguous annexation, because you can't go and annex all the way around or in an area non-contiguous and expect the county to come in the middle and take care of the roads in between.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So as you know, if there's a road that gets taken in and it's used to pass between two, then likely we're going to expect the town to take that road over rather than us crossing through the city to get to that road to maintain it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, for the town to expand and annex, you still have to follow the
right
law according to, for annexation, it has to be contiguous. That's a big word. It has to butt up. I'm going to use road talk. Anything else?
Did you say there's a summary back here of the budget or?
No, not in my budget. Okay. That's just policies. When I mentioned budget, that's what I use those projects for when I'm figuring out a summer maintenance program on our roads.
Is the summary of projects?
Yes, there's a summary of those projects, but they're spelled out in detail. The first, starting with this, the design cost, you know, that goes through what each step is, how the prices are figured, and then the summary at the end of that is just
total cost for each district, it looks like.
Yeah, that was, like I said, that was just stuck on the back of this. I didn't even notice it when I printed it off, but that was, I think maybe the road program from way back in 1999 that we thought was going to need it to be done.
So if all this goes through,
yes.
What's the county's preference?
I'm sorry.
What's the county's preference? Would you prefer to continue to maintain those roads? Would you prefer to have somebody else maintain them?
That would be the commissioner's call.
There's a couple of considerations you have to look at. It's really not a matter of preference until those roads are taken over by the municipality. It's our responsibility. So it really kind of falls back on the new municipality and how they want to bring those roads into their incorporated areas. From a cost standpoint, there's not enough funding to maintain the roads either way. So whether it's us not being funded or the city not being funded, it really doesn't make any difference. There's not enough money to maintain the roads in the condition that they're expected to be maintained in. So until that formula's changed, it's really not going to make that much difference. I mean, does that seem accurate to you?
Yeah, me personally, from my point of view, I've never been one to say, if you want it, it's yours. I mean, you know, that's just, every phone call I don't get, somebody else gets, is fine with me. But that's basically why this 22 projects, estimated rough cost for maintaining, that's what you need to look at. That's basically a thumbnail sketch of what it costs to maintain a mile of each one of those roads with a project like that.
And how many, say, new, instead of not just maintenance, but it, and I've lived in Whitestown for only 2.5 years now, so
yes.
Any new construction projects? What kind of
define new construction?
Or
are you talking converting gravels to hard surface?
Well, that could be one, or maybe renovation of resurfacing. So that's a better word I'm looking for. Resurfacing of roads, or is that?
Well, as it stands right now, it's unlikely for anything to be a major undertaking without federal funding.
Okay.
Because right. There's no local funding for that kind of a project.
Yeah. As far as federal aid road projects, I have three going on now. We're doing the first phase of 146th Street, or 300 South, from the Hamilton County line to 421. That's under construction now. Okay. We have the 400 South extension from Anson's property line. We're bringing it in where it's going to hook up with Walker Farms, and then you're going to have a way to 65 out off of 650 East.
Super.
We just got approved the intersection of 400 East, 400 South, Perryworth Road, that nightmare there. You with me?
I'm trying to get oriented. 400
east, 400
south. For Amazon, yeah, right there, yes. By Smooth Pond.
Yes, exactly. Okay. We have a federal aid intersection improvement project that was approved last year, and design is going to start on that now. So that will, the plan on that one, of course this is subject to change, but the basic plan that we submitted, that NDOT approved, is when the realignment is done, 400 South is going to be the primary road that goes on and over 65. Okay. 400 East is going to be shifted to the east down there, and it's going to tee into 400 South. Okay? Because what we're looking at is that is the west end of the 146th Street corridor. And it's also going to meet up with the Ronald Reagan on the other side of the park of the interstate. So that's why we're going to look at
the other side of the interstate. Where's the Ronald Reagan coming up?
West side.
Up 267?
Right now, it's going to be where it is going to hit I-65 is the current 267.
Okay.
It's going to come out of Hendricks County and merge into that road north of Fayette.
Okay.
Or that's the route that us in Hendricks County are looking at, and we're doing the environmental study on. So,
and is that, and forgive me, I'm woefully ignorant. So the north, is that the terminus of it then? Is it 65, or does it keep going north from there?
That's the end of it, 65. Right, currently it's done down, actually on even south of 70 a little.
Kind of through Ameriplex.
Yeah.
Changes names, but.
Yeah, it's the Ameriplex Parkway.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Right. So. Of course, Andrews County has some gaps in there that they have got their big hurdle out of the way. They've got their project over the Big Four Railroad. It's probably under construction now.
Bridges up, pillars are up.
Yeah.
Highlands.
That was their biggest hurdle on getting that dune improved.
Has the county let, or does the county have any plans to let any roads revert to gravel?
I honest to God thought we was going to have to do it last year, but I squeaked through the way they come out of last spring. I thought, you know, this is going to start. We haven't had to yet. Funding doesn't increase within the next 5 years. You're going to see it, if not sooner. And as much as people hate them, it's a lot cheaper to maintain a mile of gravel than it is a mile of asphalt.
You guys have any questions?
But then I've lived on a gravel road for 60 years, so I don't know what my problem is. That's not dust, it's ambiance.
Logistical question.
Yes.
I try and post what we receive out on our website.
Uh-huh.
Any problems with that? This is, you know, putting this out there?
Nope, it's public domain.
I didn't believe so, but I want to make sure there wasn't anything.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, the part from 1999.
Well, yeah, the one says it's old, and I can take that part out.
I think
part that says here's what it takes to maintain certain pieces, I think that's good information.
Okay, okay.
And that doesn't include labor either.
No, those are all just material costs.
Only.
Equipment's not figured in it. Those are all just straight material cost for those individual projects.
Yeah, the 1999 part doesn't make any sense, so I can do that. I mean, since it happened, of course.
No. Like I said, when I printed that off, I didn't realize I was printing the whole thing because the commissioners and the council at the county level, they just get the 22 basic projects every year as I update it. You know, say here's what the cost estimate is.
Would you be able to give this to us as well for labor, or no?
No. Labor's going to vary.
Okay.
From jurisdiction to jurisdiction.
What's the
and I usually don't even figure labor in that because I'm going to pay the guys 8 hours whether they're working on this or somewhere else. So my labor costs are constant.
What's the common construction wage around here?
I can't answer that. They'll be able to answer that Tuesday.
Yeah, there's going to be a...
We're having a common wage hearing on bridges.
Yeah.
Boone County has one.
This doesn't have the thing you gave them doesn't have the contractor estimates on either, does it?
Yeah, there's the contractor lay down price that they bid.
There are some contractor
lay down bid prices.
So that'll give you an idea of the difference for the labor. And not directly.
Yeah, if you look on the summary, it's right. Got the contractor estimates for right. Some of the projects, for most of the projects.
And a good way to look at when you compare that, if you see a project that's by county forces and per ton price for asphalt, then if you see it where it's contractor, mm-hmm. His per ton price is how he bids a project. So in other words, if there's $15 difference in the per ton price.
Because he's lumping it all into the per.
That's, yes, yes. And when he bids a lay down price, that includes hauling, rolling, laying it with his paver, and providing traffic control. That's how we bid contractor lay down prices. So that would give you a rough idea.
Okay.
On both equipment cost and labor to get that spread.
And there obviously there's some profit.
Yeah.
Margin. Sure.
We, you know, you would hope there is, or they wouldn't be doing it. So.
They didn't want to do it for free.
Just enough to cover the cost. It's a good contract.
Government does stuff for free.
No, we do it for less than free.
Yeah. We all work for less than free.
Yeah, I'm from the government. I'm here to help.
Yeah, I'm here to help.
All right, any other questions for Tom?
If you think of any, you know, feel free to email me, call me, whatever. In the office.
Cindy?
I know. I've been a thorn in your side because I'm one of those calls. I'm sorry.
Well, that's your right.
I've also tried, I've gone to commissioner meetings, tried to get more funding, you know, said, hey, listen, where does the money come from at all, period?
Right.
Where does it come from for you to work with? It doesn't come from real estate taxes. Okay, then where does it come from?
I can answer that right now.
And then I also had one of the commissioners say, would you all as residents be opposed to a wheel tax?
Mm-hmm.
I said, the answer to that question is, if it goes to the road, yes. If you lump it in another general fund again and steal it away, no.
Okay.
It needs to go on the roads. You guys need more money.
You're exactly right.
It's hideous
okay.
out there.
So, was those questions? I can answer.
Yeah, where does it come?
Okay, our basic funding comes from the state gas tax. It comes to us in two different funds, MVH and local road and street. By state statute, you can only use MVH for certain things, local road and street, okay? Other funding we get that by state statute you can work on roads with, and I'm just talking county. Cities and towns is a whole different funding formula. Is what they call local option income taxes. That's your COIT, that's EDIT, Economic Development Income Tax, CAGIT, what's CAGIT stand? What's CAGIT stand?
County Adjusted Gross Income Tax.
There you go. I deal with too many acronyms. I think you can keep them all straight.
Do you want to keep some of all that?
Can.
Okay.
Okay.
They've taken it away from me.
But originally, from what we've read, and maybe this information's not correct, the COIT tax, County Option Income, was supposed to be
for
the roads.
Parcel.
And then they zipped it off somewhere else, and now it's like an act of God to get it moved back.
You're exactly right. According to state statute, all those local mm-hmm. option income tax, the county council can give it, the county council can take it away.
With no vote from residents who may have voted for the county option
right.
income tax for this purpose, and then years go by and they go, we need that money, we're going to take it away.
No vote. Your vote will be on who you vote for county
council.
Right. Well, one of the other things you have to keep in mind also for the COA tax, this past year we saw 22% decrease
in
the COA tax. It's expected to drop again for 2012. There was also a mistake made by the state of Indiana in calculations that will, I think, what was your estimate, Don? Was it 4%? I think ours is 4.7%.
I think so. So it's
600 million statewide.
600 million statewide.
Yeah. But ours lumped together was around 600,000, I believe, which will be taken over 3 years.
3 years out of our
So now we're talking about not just 20% drop, we're talking about a 22% drop or 23% drop. And then an additional drop in the COA tax for next year. Boone County is positioned because of a lack of bonding over the last 30 years better than most counties, but it's not good. I mean, we're still in a situation now where there's going to be some severe shortages.
They put it up to vote, and I'm in commercial real estate, so I know it's probably dangerous. You know, they got the cap on taxes, real estate taxes, 1% for homeowners, 2%, 3%. And then they go, okay, but wait a minute, we got those. Yeah, we're going to let the schools come in, and you can vote on this referendum to give them additional funds above that. Okay, that's important, and why aren't the roads important? Why can't you also put that to a vote and say, are you, you obviously know you get the phone calls, are you unhappy with your roads, and is there a way to make sure that money, unlike the quick money, cannot be grabbed up by the state and allocated to some other county, because they do that. They get everybody's money, and then they go, well, we're going to give you 70% of what you gave us.
Clinton, do something about that, man.
You know what? Until the Democrats come back, we ain't got nothing to do. I knew that was coming. Sorry.
Two things that do need to be targeted on your question with the state government is BMV is partially funded out of the MVH.
Okay.
And so is state police gets 60% of their funding. 64% of their funding from the gas tax. So now what we've got is we're getting not just gas tax money, we're getting a small piece of the pie of the gas tax money. I've asked our legislators to look at the possibility of creating the BMV as a self-funded entity. They charge fees, and I don't understand why we can't look at them to pay for themselves. Sure. But state police is a little different, a little harder not to crack. So there's a lot of other concerns there.
And they're going to charge for each call or each ticket that they hand out, you know.
And that's an important point too about the gas tax funds. That money's drying up too.
Yes.
It will be more and more fuel efficient. Yeah.
Revenues are going down.
I know you're going to run into people like my neighbor who's going to go, well, I'm not giving out that money because they won't spend it right. Well, if we can assure that we vote on and we issue a way to get the money to the right source, like giving to a charity. You know, I'm not going to give to the charity and have 80% of it go away and then only 20% of it be given to the actual individual that needed it.
Right.
You know? My husband's like, I'm paying for damage on my vehicle. I'm paying for car washes, medication from reaction to all the dust. You know, dirt filth in our house, even though we have brand new windows and doors. You know, we'd be willing to pay to have the roads improved.
Right.
But we can't pay for just our little strip and nobody else.
You can actually, I'm sure if you talk to Tommy, he can tell you how much there's a product out called Roadkill. They can put an oil down in front of your house if you're willing to pay for it.
They did last year because I...
Yeah, I mean, there are options to at least knock the dust down for a season. And there's some new stuff that'll knock it down for longer than a season. That roadkill versus the oil.
Yeah.
So I mean, even the oil even lasts longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's in front of one of our neighbors.
But that's still not inexpensive to do that.
No.
So,
no.
Well, I would suggest talking to Representative Van Adder, Senator Boots, Representative Thompson, about getting, you know, if you think that, I can personally see the benefit in allowing the county or the local government to put a referendum on a local ballot asking whether or not we can have a levy above and beyond property tax cap in order to pay for something that the town finds important.
Because property tax doesn't go to this. People think it does. Right. They're like, I pay for my real estate taxes, and all these other taxes, and you think it's going to go to that. My neighbor can't sell his house to save his life because the road's too dusty and his house is right up against the road.
Anyway, so you know, part two of your question. Part three, wheel tax. Common name for it. It's actually LOHUD, Local Option Highway Users Tax. But anyway, by state statute, it can only be spent at the highway department. They can't grab it and put it into general fund. They can't take it. They can take it away from you. They can repeal it. But funds that are raised by the wheel tax can only go to the highway department.
So if you had a wheel tax, the county collects it, because it's for you, and we as Whitestown, as an organization, take over the roads, do we get any of it?
Yep.
Yeah, we get a portion.
You get a cut of it right off the start.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I'm just thinking it goes straight to the county?
No. It has to be adopted by the county council. Okay. All right. But every governmental organization within that county gets cut of it. It's figured on the local road and street distribution formula.
Like linear miles? You have this many linear whatever?
Miles and registered vehicles.
Okay.
So, yeah, every, you know, like I said, the county council is the only one that can adopt it, but everybody gets a share of the pie.
And that's where the eternal question of trucks versus cars comes into play, right?
Yes.
Local road. Kind of trucks.
Pickup trucks.
Pickup trucks don't count toward the highway formula. Don't count as cars.
Because
the way the law is written.
But they could be charged a wheel tax, can't they?
Yes.
Yeah, that can be charged.
But so you can have, it goes back to the distribution formula.
It doesn't count. If they say you have 500 cars, but you have 1,000 vehicles, the 500 cars is all you're going to get paid for. The other 500 trucks.
So all your farmer neighbors are driving pickup trucks.
Where does it go? Doesn't even count the formula. It's like, remember when they originally came out with the seatbelt law that said you had to wear it in a car or an automobile? It didn't count trucks because a truck is not. So they had to go back and revise it because people that drove pickup trucks didn't have to wear seatbelts.
And going down the same road, how many SUVs have you seen with truck plates on them? Mm-hmm. They don't get counted in the formula.
So anybody with those truck plates.
So if they're not in the formula, where's the money going?
It gets distributed out
to more cars.
Yeah. So urban areas that have as a percentage of their automobile population more cars stand to benefit more relative to rural areas that have a higher percentage of trucks.
So there's an amendment first needs to happen.
That was going back and forth for 30 years.
There's an amendment there so that it gets delivered by whatever, and I would even tier it. I mean, cars and trucks of a certain level, bigger trucks, dump trucks, semi-trucks, they need to pay a little more because when those buggers stop, they hit the road. They're the ones that make the washboard.
State issue, unfortunately.
But now when it comes to collecting the wheel tax, okay, those are all in there. Mm-hmm. You know, you can charge semis more than what you would a 1979 Chevrolet Caprice. Mm-hmm. You know, so you are allowed to set different rates for different type of vehicles.
Has the county
from motorcycles on up?
Has the county considered that in the past? Has it ever come to?
I tried to do it 6 years ago, and I got beat up real bad.
But if you had residents asking for this, and it went to a vote, and then you got a vote of support behind you,
how we did this 6 years ago? We went to every town meeting in the county. We made the wheel tax presentation. Indiana LTAP came down with all the figures that said you charge, you know, you set your wheel tax at this rate, here's how much money is going to be raised. Okay, we did that, went to every town, made the presentation. There's not a politician out there that's going to come out and support that. I had two towns out of everybody that actually said, we want to see this.
And it's an election year.
<That's funny. laughs> I know nobody wants to pay more, but you're paying more.
Yeah, you're paying more in a different way.
The school buses are damaged.
Okay.
And everything.
How my budget works. Okay, like I said, it's set. I got MVH budget. I got local road and street. I have figures sent to me every June by the state of Indiana that says, this is how much you're going to get next year. I have to base my budget on those figures. Okay. This year's budget, my 2011 budget, is based on figures and income that is actually $7,000 less than I got in 2001. Highway departments, county highway departments all over the state are running 10 years. They've cut us back to 10 years ago on our income.
And the roads are now newer.
Nope. Well, and you also have to consider his costs are in that same formula, even though the funding's down, the costs are higher. If you look just basically at healthcare alone, our healthcare costs now are astronomical.
Now look at fuel prices. Yeah. Compared to 10 years ago. Yeah. You know, my overhead is...
Well,
you
need asphalt for expense now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
anything that's a petroleum-based product.
Yeah. Out in the public sector...
And here I promise not
I used to have awesome insurance that I didn't pay a dime for, and I had like $1 deductible, $100 deductible. Pretty much could have been it all.
Yeah.
And is the highway department, are your guys now paying in to their premium? Or are they 100%?
On the group insurance?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we paid.
All county employees pay approximately 17% of the premium.
Of our premium costs.
Which is probably pretty standard for.
It's probably, I don't know what Whitestown does, but it's probably pretty close to what most municipalities and counties are. Now, private sector, that probably everybody knows, private sector is pushing to go higher and higher with the employee contribution all the time. So, I mean, the private sector, I've heard as much as 50% now, is becoming more standard.
It's negotiable. Depends on how big your company is.
Does anybody else have anything for Tom?
Okay.
All right, Tom, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Jeff, do you want to piggyback on what Tom had to say? Because he kind of came from the county perspective. Do you have anything you want to add? Anybody have, any questions?
Yeah, you guys can ask me questions. The only comment I'll make about the interlocal is we did it with Zionsville. I'm not a big fan of resolutions and laws and things that are not necessary. I don't think it's necessary by state statute. If you don't take it into Whitestown, we take care of it anyway. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
The interlocal doesn't give you any more or less power than you had before.
Just like with the police.
Right.
Yeah.
And the sheriff's and I'm going to be right up front with you. The first interlocal draft I saw from Zionsville, they did want control over what I did in the new area, and I said no.
Either that, you own it or
that clause,
you don't.
Yes, you, if you want control over it, you annex it.
It was basically, it was language that stated it was going to be maintained at a certain level.
So
that level's Tom's decision, not
based on his budget.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Anybody have any questions for Commissioner Wolf?
Total? Including cities and towns?
Everything.
I don't have focus, do I?
How about what you just maintained?
Right now I'm down to 780.
780 miles is what you maintain?
Centerline miles.
Okay.
What's
that? I understood.
That's just one shot right down the middle. That's how all the funding formulas are based on centerline miles. In other words, you know, that's one straight shot down the middle. Okay, sure, I've got 780 mile of centerline miles, but you got to double that because even on anything that's up to 20 foot wide, you got to make one pass down, one pass back. Mm-hmm.
And that
cloud
goes back
snow,
to the,
it takes four passes.
And that goes back to the trucks versus cars argument. Cities, the urban areas say, okay, fine, we'll trade your truck if you give us lane miles rather than center miles.
Right, right.
The trucks is actually a better deal.
Then I just like throw one more thing out there. Yeah, I promise I'll shut up after this. I, for the last 3 years, have been an officer in our state association, County Highway Engineers and Supervisors Association. So I have been sitting on the AIC Legislative Committee and dealing directly with legislature. The attitude that the state legislature has is, okay, locals, we've given you all these, going back to the local option income tax things again. Are you using them all? Okay, do you have a wheel tax? Their thing is, don't come to us wanting to increase the state gas tax until you've exhausted all your options and are still in trouble. Okay, This year, they've bumped it up another notch. Do you have a wheel tax? If you say yes, do you have it set at the maximum? So, you know, this, it's, I'm in this place where I've got, state says it's a local problem till you get everything in place. The local says, no, it's a state problem because of our gas tax funding is going down. So, there you go. I'm done.
What is the maximum?
You know, it's been so long since I did that 6 years ago. I'd have to look that up. I know that we were looking at, you've got two parts of the wheel tax. One's the excise tax part, and the other part is the vehicle, each individual vehicle. And what we were looking at when we were trying to sell it back then was the average was going to be $25 per vehicle. Okay, so, and that was going to raise me back then almost $900,000 a year.
And how much do you need to raise to get the roads up?
Just the maintenance. See, everybody keeps asking me these questions. I just preach.
I mean, I'll pay $50 a vehicle if it gets me better roads.
To maintain what I currently have, okay, this is gravels and hard surface roads. So, and so we're going to kick gravel roads out of it, but we're just going to look at the hard surface roads. This is based on a formula. It's called a 20-year cycle, okay? Every 5 years, you chip and seal the road. That's the preservation of the current pavement. You do that for 3 cycles, 15 years, okay? At the end of the next 5-year cycle, you're at year 20, you resurface it, okay? For mice, what do I have, 460 mile, roughly, of hard surface roads. I need $3.9 million a year just to maintain that cycle on the existing hard surface.
So 40% of your roads are soft surface, like gravel?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes! Boone County has actually the most gravel road per mile than any other county.
I mean, it doesn't shock me.
Not any other county.
Not any other?
Any county.
Donut County. I'm sorry, Donut County. My apologies. Yeah. Donut County.
Well,
and
cool.
People say, well, that's why your real estate taxes are low.
No.
They don't have anything to do with it, I find out.
Do you have any more questions for the county guys?
That's sorry. Why. I'm sorry, you got pumped me up again. That's all right. But that's why we have not yet had to turn any back into gravel. Because I've been just barely clinging on to be able to maintain my 60% that I have. And that's coming to an end.
I give you credit, man. I thought 500 was going to go gravel last year.
500?
500 out by, 500 out by, no, 400, I'm sorry. 400.
East?
East. It's bad when you go out there on foot and you can feel the pavement give.
Springtime in Indiana.
Beautiful stuff. Well, thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you coming out and talking to us.
Okay. And I apologize for taking longer. I was
on. It's fine.
Say any questions, I'm out of here.
It's fine. We appreciate it.
We're still doing 45 minutes, yeah. Like you said.
Well, and I apologize. I didn't prepare a speech like Tom did.
I'm giving you one of them if you want to.
He covered everything I've got to say, pretty much. I mean, he pretty much explained. Andrew, I guess I'm next.
Yes, the president's
in. Can I throw one more thing?
Of course you can, sir.
Wheel tax. Okay, now, and this is based, once a county crosses the 50,000 population threshold, okay, which no doubt about it, Boone County is going to do after the 2010 census, the distribution percentage, county versus cities and town, flip-flops. After you cross 50,000, cities and towns get a higher cut of the pot than the county does.
Very that's good. Good to know.
Our census rates for this year that came out was a 56,640.
Yeah. So if there is a wheel tax enacted, cities and towns get a larger share now than they would have 6 years ago.
You want the county roads maintained?
Well, we're looking at this from a perspective of a consolidated municipality.
Yeah. Well, basically, what do you want to do when it comes to this thing?
Right. And, you know, that's something we have to look at is how, if that were to pass, we're going to get a wheel tax. Would that impact our decision whether or not to take on more roadway
than if we weren't going to have that. So it's all things we've got to think about.
And that's getting every municipality and every town to buy in
right.
to the wheel tax, too.
So that's a county thing.
But they don't have to adopt it.
No.
How many incorporated municipalities do we have in this county, anyway?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Eulon counts. They actually get a distribution from the state.
Yep. Eulon's its own town within Lebanon's mm-hmm. town limits.
Oh, they have their own budget.
It's like $3,000 a year, but they
last month they actually annexed the golf course because apparently it didn't belong to anybody.
Yep.
For the country club, whatever that was.
Middle of the country club.
Good stuff, yeah. All right, anybody have any questions for Dawn related to municipal road funding? How many center miles of roads do we control?
We turn in 31 miles. And all of our 31 miles, I believe 5, maybe 7 are gravel. And that's on the high side.
Okay, 5 or 7 are gravel.
Mm-hmm.
Is that out actually in town?
A lot of that is in Perry. A couple of those are in Perry, and there are some over behind Walker Farms.
Right.
The backside of Walker Farms.
575.
Yeah.
And then right there.
And 375, and then 475 is the other one we have so much trouble with.
Yeah. 575 is on the
Then you got 550 is yours.
550.
500.
Yeah, 475 are the little dog leg between Indianapolis Road and 550. Mine's chip and sealed, so.
In town, isn't there like right there by where the old co-op used to be?
Yeah, that little, that little patch of gravel back
there. I wouldn't call that gravel.
Yeah, the mud pit.
Yeah.
So, Tom pretty much answered, I think, most of your questions. The municipality works pretty much the same way, just probably on a little bit smaller scale. We obviously don't have the amount of equipment that Tom has, nor the labor power. We are working on more labor and more equipment, but again, that comes back to your budgets. And I think right now we're getting, I think our MVH checks, maybe $1,400 a month from the state. And that, I can get an exact number and let you know. I don't know how much our MVH checks are. They're not much. We still have the local road and street, we have MBH, and we do use some of our co-op for town, for roads, for actual labor. So.
But we're in the same boat as the county.
We are definitely.
We don't have enough money to fund and take care of the roads we got, let alone trying to take on more.
It's a matter of taking on more, you grow with it. I mean, you wait, as the more money comes in, you do what the best you can with what you have. You maintain them at the best level you can. You try to stay on Tom's schedule. You know, if this road was due for a grading or things like that, or adding more stone, we try to stay up on them as best we can. But yeah, your funds never will catch up to roads that you maintain now or roads that you may obtain in the future.
Just to give you a figure to remember, when you look at those project costs per mile, MVH actually, rule of thumb figures out your yearly distributions are $3,000 per mile. And that's it for the entire year.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, makes sense.
I think I stepped to the top here. I think Tom talked about 65 and 334.
No,
I never thought about that.
State Road 334, it's not a big secret. Everybody in Whitestown knows that the state has been working with Zionsville and with the county and with Whitestown to relinquish control of State Road 334. Mm-hmm. To date, I think everyone's working on their own separate agreements. I think everybody's getting really close. We just got our new agreement yesterday or this morning. We're still looking at that. If all three relinquish control, Tom will still have the bridge
mm-hmm.
on the far side of Zionsville, and then the couple small ones in between. And you're working with Zionsville on something. They'll plow them or whatever.
Which bridge on the far side of Zionsville?
This, the big one.
Oh, yeah, right. The one right there by Lions Park.
Right, yeah, the big one right there. And then there's a couple small ones as you're headed east into town. That's all still in the works. So Whitestown would maintain, basically, when you leave here, you'll see a little blue zero marker. You'll see it on this side. You won't see it coming the other way. Right. Whitestown will basically maintain, easy way to look at it, is the guardrail. It's the 1.48 mile marker of 334. It's just
past the first stone gate entrance headed east. We do have an interlocal agreement with the county on 400, which runs past Amazon and Medco. The county maintains that. They have the maintenance bonds on that, and that was part of the TIF and part of the whole development of the Duke Gamson project. The road to nowhere, as everyone refers to it, Tom is working on a bridge to make that road go somewhere. I believe it's 2012.
Yes.
For that bridge. And I know that's kind
bridge
of...
Bridge and road.
The bridge and the road.
So it's the one that'll go, that's on 400.
It's where the, right now, where
it's, that goes
it
around,
yeah,
dead end, so
yeah,
really
it's
going
to be new and improved to the back of Walker Farms.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to go through Walker Farms off of 650 and get on the interstate. Mm-hmm.
So where will it come in? Where will it meet up with 400? Because where 400 is behind Walker Farms kind of runs into that home, the log cabin home, but that little creek, will it come in right kind of close to that?
Just south of it. It's going to do a little job.
Mm-hmm. Well, Whitestone is also working with the county on 650 south, right here. Tom and I and Kevin, Boone County in general and Whitestown, have worked pretty well together. As far as you guys ask about cooperation, we actually have roads that where we stop a quarter mile short of 267. General rule of thumb, Curry Worth Road, we actually stop at the landscaping company. When our guys plow, we plow to the intersection, turn around and plow back. Tom's guys do the same thing. You're not going to pick up your blade and leave it. Mm-hmm. We kind of have a general rule of thumb. We won't throw a product at your road because the last thing you want to do is for us to spread salt and then his guys come through and plow it off. Mm-hmm. So general rule of thumb is we'll push it open. If your guys hit it, put salt down on his little quarter mile. And I think the last couple of years that's worked out. We've not had, we don't leave big piles in the middle of the road. So the cooperation between Boone County and Whitestown has been very well, very well. I don't think I would look at Tom and say, by the way, I'm going to take all your roads, or you can have the roads, but they have to be my standards. That's, I just don't think that's fair game, fair ball. So.
I'd say both groups plowed my roads.
Yeah, and there's a lot of 550, 650. I actually seen the guys passing each other until they can find a turnaround spot. They don't just pick a driveway and turn around.
Usually it's the fire station.
Yeah, they pick the fire station. Yeah, they pick Sanders Court on my road because that's the easiest place for the guys to turn around with big trucks.
Anybody have a question for Don? Further?
So did I hear you say you're not looking to take over the roads?
It's not a matter of not looking. It's a matter of what this board decides they would like to do. If you guys tell us and the board comes back and says, you know what, we want to maintain all these roads, when we go to start figuring budgets, you have to take that into consideration. Mm-hmm. If, you know, it's not that we're going to get a whole hunkin' lot of money just because we take over another, what is there worth, 60 miles, 70 miles of roads?
Roughly.
So the economies of scale will go away, that he's in, if he enjoys any at all, or not, that would go away.
Yeah, he would lose funding.
Yeah, I would lose that money.
It would come, he would lose funding for his 15-year projects for other roads in the county. We can only hope that if and when this happens, that maybe he's just hit a cycle and we'll get lucky. Mm-hmm.
And you're hiring full-time guys when maybe you could use one and a half, because you don't have so many roads.
Right now we're looking at two. Right.
Full-time guys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by a conversation.
You know, like I said, my budget is less than I had in 2001. In 2001, I had 37 people on staff. I'm down to 30 now.
And you also have to keep in mind when Whitestone started and before they annexed the 4,000 acres, they didn't really even have a roads budget. Mm-hmm. And now we do. And now we have staff, and we have equipment, and we have plow trucks, and we don't subcontract any of that out anymore. We do all our own. We also already... Pardon me?
So they were pothole filling yesterday.
Yes, pothole filling. We also understand
that... Spring time
again, yeah. Yeah.
Tom and I have had that conversation. Colin goes, what is wrong with these roads? He goes, Tom, it's called dull. I said, okay, I'm not liking that. Mud pushing. We've had those issues with the spring roads.
Yeah.
Bubbles of mud through gravel. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
We've also already know that if we take 334, 650, 650 south, 650 east, and if we take 334, if that all comes, which I believe it will, we will have to invest in a bigger truck.
Yeah.
you can't tag team plow 334 and hit both.
It's too large.
It's too much for the size of vehicles we have. So we will be looking to upgrade to a bigger truck. And also when we do plow what few county gravel roads we do, we leave about an inch of snow because you can't really push a gravel road or your people are going to call and say, you just put...
All the gravel's in my front.
Yeah, all the gravel. And you get complaints about that or you get complaints, you know, and that's why they leave enough snow. People say, well, why don't they plow to the edge of the road? Well, your yard sticks out a foot farther than your neighbor's and I'm going to plow his sod right into his yard. So there's all kinds of rules that go into that when you're doing that.
Yeah. How would you even gear up? Let's say that we said... Whitestown's taking over all the roads.
We're actually already looking at it. We're planning. How much would it take?
That's what I'm thinking. How would you, I mean, if you, because you just said you get $1,400 in MVH, you use some code.
$3,000 ready to place, $3,000 a month.
How would you gear up for something like that?
It's a step-by-step process. You evaluate the roads, which ones are the worst, which is what we're already looking at, even in our own town limits. You don't jump right in and start buying equipment, hiring people until you understand how much money you will have coming in, what is the status of the roads that we would take if we decide to take them, or you look at Tom and say, you know what, you're going to need to handle this so we can gear up. Mm-hmm. Nothing's saying just because you guys say we're going to take over the roads that the town and the boards can't work with Tom and say, look, you keep them. We're going to work this out so it gives us time. So come Monday morning, we don't have 60 more miles of roads to check. There's always a game plan and a situation where you can work that out. We've worked it out. Tom was talking about some of the grants. LTAP, there's T in that one of them. There's about 9 different programs that the state comes out with every year. Some of it requires matching funds, some of it doesn't. You apply for them, your name goes in a big pot, like our OCR grants that the town got for water and sewer. The same thing applies to roads. Yeah. And there's a lot of times that Tom will call me and say, we need to talk about this because he's in a better situation than we are to be able to apply for some of those grants, such as 650. We're estimating, what's the total to expand 650, roughly? Because it was more than $3 million, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I'm going to say it was $4 million to take 650 from a two-lane road to what they call a Super 2 with a turn. Well, for us as a town, to apply for some of the grants, we'd have to have 20% of that money sitting in the bank to back up those funds. Granted, we could start saving for it. But in Tom's case, he probably has a little bit more bonding because the county doesn't have a lot out there. So he has a better shot at doing that. So what will happen is at 650, versus both of us applying for the grant, there'll be an agreement that says, you know what, you apply for it and we'll give you control of the road. So that way, by state standards, they own the road and they're applying for the funds and Whitestown doesn't have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. Same thing as if I wanted to look at finishing that 475 and turning it, there's like 2 houses that actually Tom's responsible for. I go to Tom and say, look, I'm going to apply for federal money to turn this gravel road to something else. Can we work out a deal for the last 30 feet? So the road would actually then belong to Whitestown so we can apply for grants, because it's really hard to say that your road goes, you know, 3/4 of a mile, and that last 1/4 mile belongs to someone else. Mm-hmm. So there's always ways to work those out with people.
Yeah, and just so you know, all the federal stuff that Don was just referring to, that comes out of the federal tax that you pay on gasoline.
Right.
NDOT just oversees the money from federal highway. That's their job.
There's federal money, there's state money, there's all kinds of different pots. We apply for a sign.
Except at my level.
Except it is low, yeah, sorry. Signage, all signs in Whitestown, and even in the county, have to be changed to the new letters. First letters have to be 9 inches tall, and all letters after that have to be 6 inches tall, and they all have to be capitalized, and they have to be on specific backgrounds, and they have to be reflective, and it's visually impaired and better visibility. We did apply for a grant, and we did receive that, but we don't get that money until 2014. Mm-hmm. So we can start working on our signs a little at a time, but we also have to back that grant up with 20% of our own funds.
So would you say it's safe to say that no matter who takes over the roads, who handles the roads in Warwick Township, it's going to be a long time before any of those gravel roads get turned into paved roads?
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty good assumption.
Because you're looking at least 2014 before if it passes, it would even go into effect.
Right.
3 years.
Yeah, and just because, I mean, if it would merge, then you couldn't generate enough money, even through property taxes, through your Kellett funds, through your MVH funds, your LRS. It's just not possible to generate that kind of money that fast to say, okay, we're going to take 60 miles of gravel roads. You guys have the prices in front of you per mile. Mm-hmm. And that's saying the road can be converted. What has to be done? Does it have to be graded? Does it have to be new swells put on the sides? Does it have to be expanded? Does it need new drainage, culverts, pipes? What else has to be done? Because some of the roads, if they're bad enough, you can't just go through and asphalt on it. You have to, you know, kind of start over. Just depends on what their condition is. So those are all things to consider. So yeah, just if, when and if this happens, there's not going to be some miracle switch that all of a sudden all the roads in Boone or in Whitestown or Worth Township get paved. That, I would think that would be an unrealistic expectation of your job, ours as Whitestown, or even to ask Tom. You know, the financials is just not there for that. And I'm sure Jeff can back me up on that.
So. And if they did get paved, you've got a higher maintenance cost.
Yeah, right? Your maintenance cost is higher. So
I can say we got to look at Whitestown's roads is being taken care of by the utility guys also. So they're kind of doing, some of them are doing dual jobs.
But they're being paid out of the road funds.
Right.
They're not being paid by the utilities.
Right.
These are being paid by the town.
Yes.
And we actually contract with the utilities at a flat per hour rate. The utilities, that does not come out of the utilities budget.
Right. No.
But you're going to have to start over and explain that one.
Right now, I don't. I have one guy that actually works, quote, for the town that I pay him direct for. Mm-hmm. All the other guys that are on the utility staff, this time of year, if there's no water main break, they're out patching holes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they don't charge us their hourly rate. We have an agreement, and I believe it's $65 an hour. So if they're out working, filling potholes, they send us an invoice for $65. That covers their truck costs, their gas costs, their labor, materials, anything they need. Now, if it's something huge above and beyond where we have to go out and, you know, patch an entire road, the materials gets bought out of this town fund, and the labor gets billed separately. But that's all awash between the utilities and the contract with the town. That does not have anything to do with your water and sewer rates.
Right. So, like with the county, you know, they have their own
crews, right?
As opposed, you know, like in the wintertime, the guys are out plowing versus trying not, hopefully not having to work on water issues.
Yeah.
But if they get a water issue that comes up,
you know,
they got the road stopped. They got
or two guys continue on roads, and the guys depend on how bad it is. If something like this happens, we've already started gearing up. We're looking at next year's budget to hire more staff.
So you have one right now, though.
Well, one that's kind of totally dedicated to roads. And to be honest, once the potholes are patched and signs are up and people quit knocking them down, there's only so much, and or borrowing. There's only so much the guy, I mean, he can go out and cut the ditches, spray the weed killer, clean out the culverts, things like that. But there's, you know, if they had a main water main break, I'm quite sure Kevin's going to pull him to ride a backhoe to get the town back up with water, and filling that pothole may have to wait. So there's kind of a shared give and take right now, but we are looking at gearing up more because we do have more to maintain.
I'm not complaining. They did good this year.
Thank you. They would love to hear that.
I told Kevin several times.
Anything else for Dawn?
I know that seems kind of rather simple for transportation, but we are looking at, I mean, I know Zionsville will get rid of their transportation plan. That will be coming since we've established our own area planning. And the Whitestown PC is going to start looking at a new comp plan and a new transportation plan and, you know, what roads do need to become, instead of minor collectors, major collectors. Are some of our roads mislabeled?
I guess I would have one question along those lines. Mm-hmm. Now that we do have our own planning, and if we were to take over, if we were to become a consolidated unit, and there would be a project come in, like another development, another, for lack of a better, like a Valenti wants to put in a new development.
Sure.
We would have, the town and the town's planning board would have control over the roads in that sense, and how those roads get planned and all that.
So long as it's not within the TIF area that goes.
But if it's in the TIF, then the county has control over it.
If it's on the county TIF side. So anything that's in the Anson space 1, 2, or 3, that would still, there's a, there's would have to be a joint effort. One, it's in the county's TIF, So they'd have to be brought in. They would obviously be part of the loop. And then the Whitestown would have to be part of the loop because it is within our jurisdiction. So those, I mean, if he was, if this developer was to buy the 364 acres that's just west of here, nope, that one's in an EDA too. That one's in an EDA too.
So 188 acres was just bought north of Whitestown on 650.
Yeah.
So
that development.
Like we're township.
Yeah, that township, that development will go to the county. Whitestown, now if we're consolidated, that project would come to us.
Okay.
To our new formed group and not to the county. The only thing that will continue to go to county is anything that's in their TIF or the EDA areas. And we have a working relationship with how that would work.
I have a question for you, and what you're saying there. Are we assuming then that if you consolidate, you're going to annex all of Worth Township?
Mm-hmm. Not
annex. I wouldn't go throwing it. We kind of banned the annex.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't annex it, but if consolidated, they would have the right to use our planning and or yours. They would have that as the new government forms. They would have that choice to use our planning or stay with the county planning.
Right.
That's part of what our board is trying to decide.
In the rural area. Mm-hmm.
In the rural area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that our planning and zoning meetings the 7th.
Yeah. No, later than 7th, 21st.
The 21st, yeah. Okay.
You want to come to that one?
One of those options that we're still considering.
That's an option because you're kind of starting with a blank. The way the statute is written, you can pretty much write, I hate to say, your own rules, but your own rules.
Yeah. Well, and that's what makes it palatable, so we can write our own rules.
And I believe Zionsville took over the planning and zoning for Union and for Eagle. So they would have that choice to use our plan staff.
Yeah, but how the roads are set up over there, Don, as far as development, anything that's within Eagle Township, okay, we look at building it with Zionsville standards, okay, anything that's in Union still is developed under county standards.
Oh, okay, is that how they wrote that?
Well, yeah, that was the agreement. You know, they still have control over the zoning and all that stuff, but as far as the standards, they build the addition, you know, their developments too.
So those are all...
So even if you had control of the road, if we took the control of the planning and zoning, we would tell you how you would have to build the new road as we, and maintain the new road as we design it?
Let's do the 650 South thing. Here's an example. If we do the interlocal yada yada, it's ours, okay, you know, while we're doing the federal aid process. A development comes in on the south side, okay, you guys have, even now within the current Whitestown Corporation limits, you guys have zoning control over that.
Over the golf course, use that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, over the golf course. Now, any entrances that come out onto 650 South
have
to be approved by the county.
Okay.
Because I tie into his road.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But inside
and what about the
building? But inside the development itself.
Inside the development would be ours.
Yeah.
So we would require that they develop the roads inside the development to our standards, mm-hmm. but as they come into your roads, they have to meet your
right.
standards.
Right. We have to.
And our standards are the same as Tom's. And in a few cases, our standards are actually, we kind of upped ours just a little bit. For widths of roads, roundabouts, how we want those designed. So, not that Tom had a lot of control over the current two we have, but
just make him not do this anymore.
The single family home.
The single family home. You know, we talked about you can't get a fire truck down the street. Mm-hmm. Was that more of a county issue, or was it more of Zionsville's?
Zionsville's the one that approved,
approved
the road layout at the time. Okay. And I believe Tom worked with just the standards at the time because it was still in Eagle Township.
Okay. So, you know, that's a big hassle on our end.
So. New developments, do you all charge the developers road impact?
We do not have a road impact fee.
County doesn't have an impact fee, no.
We have a driveway cut.
Well,
you have to be careful with your impacts.
Very, very much
so. Your impacts have to go through about a $150,000 study before you can start an impact fee on roads, parks. An impact fee. You have to go through an entire process.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it all has to be voted on, and there's very specific rules. it's very regimented before you can just look at somebody and say you're building a house and you've got to pay $1,200 on an impact fee.
Yeah.
You can't just arbitrarily throw that out.
It is very expensive to even get it
done.
And then you might as well be ready for a lawsuit because the developer's going to sue you.
Yeah.
Now, Tom, didn't you say there was another driveway cut fee?
Yeah.
We have
a driveway fee, yes.
Okay. Noblesville and Greenwood both. The county, Johnson County and Hamilton County, both have them, and they are different.
Sizable had one.
They do charge them.
not anymore. I think they're re-looking at theirs.
Well, and there's also the effect of the impact fee also stretches into economic development as well. Right. You have to look at where right. you're at and how you want to project your invitation to new builders.
Right.
Right.
You can come build here, but there's an extra $3,000 cost per lot.
Are going to be paid for by
it's
the
paid for by who? But right.
they're just going to pass those.
Yeah, it's a pass through. So yeah. Yeah, homeowner's going to pay it.
Homeowner's it.
You can price yourself right out of the market with too many fees. I think your road cut, your driveway fee is $100.
$100.
And I believe we've adopted that same one. If you want to make a driveway cut, it's $100. Tom has, I believe there's a rule in the county, it's 500 feet between driveways. So that way you can't have driveway. So there's all kinds of rules. And a lot of our rules are the same as Tom's. It's just much easier when you're talking to somebody that everyone's standards are at least close.
Any other questions for Don from the committee? Thank you so much, Don, Jeff, Tom, for coming out. We appreciate it.
Do you need anything else? You know, you can hold on me. Call, just like Tom said.
Thank you. The only other business we have is to decide how to handle the second part of this hearing. I know I sent out a message that didn't put a date on the second part of this public hearing. I just said that there would be a second part of the transportation public hearing to discuss these issues, and tentatively said the 7th of April because that was the interest that I heard from everybody who wanted to come saying, yeah, I can do it on the 7th. Is that?
Yeah, I didn't mention the 31st yet.
Okay.
Just because I didn't know if we were gonna have that. I'm fine if we need to have the 31st.
Now, you can't make the 31st.
I can't make the 31st. I can't make the 7th either.
Okay, so
I have a training class at night, and I can't skip that one.
Okay. Well, he has to be.
You got it.
That's your topic.
Yeah.
The 31st of what?
March. So it would be next. It would be the Thursday subsequent from tonight, because it's the third Thursday.
But it'd be, we'd have two meetings in a row, weeks.
We'd have a meeting on the 31st and a meeting the next week on the 7th.
Yeah. Just 1 week
apart. Which I think it's part of Paul's and part of...
Yeah, it was going to be a two-parter between those two.
You were suggesting doing on the 31st utilities and mobile.
I was suggesting doing utilities and civil services on the 31st rather than the 7th. Doing the second part of transportation on the 7th, and then doing planning and zoning on the 21st.
21st of April.
Well, you know what, though? We may want to do the utilities with...
Transportation,
because Kevin Surveys.
That's a very good point. We could do that, and then
we can be here on the 7th.
You can be here on the 7th.
Kevin,
well, you're obviously on the 7th. Kevin will be here on the 7th. Is the 7th good for
you? 7th is not good.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I have a training class at 9.
I don't think there's going to be much on the utility side.
Okay.
I need to talk to Susan.
Yeah.
I got to call her.
I can ask her and make sure that she can be here.
We can have Susan come and talk.
I know she doesn't have a meeting. They have their Humane Society meeting. But she's doing dog obedience with 4-H. I don't think there's much on the utility side.
Would you mind that if we did that?
That's fine.
Just have Susan come on the 7th talk about utility issues.
Double check with her.
Make sure
it's
high ability. Kevin, special 14
today, and she said she may not be in town.
Or not 14, okay. That'd be the
14th.
It'd be the 21st.
Yeah, it'd be the 21st of the next meeting.
So, Kevin, to the 21st, so that you can be here when Kevin's here?
I don't know.
And you would be the 31st.
Okay. I mean, we can still do the 7th and just might not be here. I mean, because I can do the utility side of it. I mean, I sat on the utility board anyways.
Are you okay with that, Mike?
That's fine. I can read it for you real quick. That'll give me what I need to know.
Well, let's tentatively plan then an Uber meeting for the 7th to talk about the rest of transportation, the little bit of utilities. And what you've got. Are you fine with that?
Yeah, because I don't think you're going to need much.
I don't think there's much on the civil. Yeah.
Okay. Just talking about, my primary concerns are taking care of poor relief and making sure that we have the, pardon the term, township for Abba Jabba
the fence disputes and the weed control.
Now, all that stuff. Depending on
all that stuff.
That's fun.
We may not be able to get Clinton to come.
Yeah, you don't need
anything. Come back, Clinton. You'll be pretty busy in April.
I'm not gonna lie. If we're having a day, I can see it not being back till April 20.
They're not going to be motivated.
Bosman Long came out and had a press conference saying that they're just going to start working through the Senate, and Bosman said that his offer was firm and final, followed by Bauer having a media availability over the speakerphone where he reiterated multiple times that it would be smart for Bosman to recess until near the end of concur or dissent time, which is the last 2 weeks in April.
I think the bottom line is they're going to be working on the summer plan.
Yeah, I know. You know, I thought I would take the summer, have a couple public meetings, do some township work, now I'll be working at night again.
Now, for the 7th, then, too, Don, we would probably ask you to come in as well, since we will be talking.
I don't want to throw all this on you. I mean, do you have somebody else that can handle that?
Kevin can answer a lot of these questions.
Okay, because we're going to have Kevin here to talk about the utilities and the second.
And if you've got any
stuff.
Additional questions about roads, Kevin can answer you. But his, not trying to make this short or anything, but what Tom told you guys, it pretty much applies.
It's just on a smaller scale.
It's just on a different scale.
I mean, gosh, I think 3,000 miles, pretty much.
That's pretty good.
Pretty much what we need.
Yeah. Utilities, we can lump in the cemetery care.
Yeah.
And
then we'll have planning and zoning on the 21st.
And I think I missed your government one.
Cindy, you want to be here
one.
For that one?
I think I missed your government one.
I think I missed the government one too. Okay. We were still doing work back then.
I want to be here for the
planning.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 21st.
Okay.
Yes, you missed government. We had Gene Thompson from Zionsville came and talked. It was great.
About the government?
Yeah, about the government. It's kind of why they did what they did.
Are the recording up on our website?
Yes,
on the recording from the media, if you want to listen to it.
You were here.
So it's Friday night, 9 o'clock, and everything else to do. Curl up the nice recording with the All right, any other business to come before the... Clint, do you have anything you want to add? Thanks for coming.
Hey, everybody, I'm Clinton. It's been a while. We got busy, and then we slowed down to the safe house. About all I got.
Deb, do you have anything you want to say?
That's Carol.
I'm sorry. I thought you were Deb Zachmeyer.
No.
No.
You should probably just adjourn.
I would like to get a motion to adjourn.
Actually,
no, there will be no meeting on the 31st.
When you set up your planning one, make sure you let Tom know so he can get the Whitestown planner here.
I think Jeff's been talking to Deb.
Okay, yeah, make sure you get
Deb. I gave him Deb's info, so.
Make sure you get Deb here.
Okay. I'm terribly sorry. So we're not having a meeting on the 31st. Next meeting will be on the 7th. To talk about all those issues. Talk about all the outstanding issues other than planning on the 21st. Okay, anything, any other business? I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying
aye.
We are, it is
opposed.
Seven. It is 7:24 and we are adjourned. Cut again.